Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to the Man Cave. Kyle Larson Edition, episode number 42. Here on the Lap Traffic Podcast. My name's Tony Smith. I'm with Brandon Crown. How you doing, B?
What up?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Excellent.
Got another...
Another jam-packed seven-page show lined up for everybody.
We do.
You know, before PTM, they're doing theirs tonight, too. And I tweeted something about, you know, typical Tuesday, you know, shit hits the fan at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm back to the drawing board. And Sherwin tweets back. He goes, yeah, I'm at about a half page. I'm like, one, two. But, it's Tuesdays. It's a night to do it, baby.
It is. It is. And unfortunate news today.
Yeah. Brutal.
Not the news that we wanted to hear. It's, in case you haven't already heard, Front Row Motorsports made the call not to bring back Landon Castle next year. And, you know, if anybody that's listened to the show knows that Landon's been a big supporter of ours.
Absolutely.
And we likewise, you know, support him. So hopefully he's back on the track soon. But, so that was the news today, but we have a good guest.
We do
tonight.
We do.
One of our favorites.
One of our faves, NASCAR Chasm, is going to join us here in a little bit for his third trip to the Lap Traffic
Podcast. It is. I forgot about the Eldora.
That one kind of slips under the radar because
like
that was a
2.5.
Tony, what'd you do over the weekend? Anything?
I didn't do a lot. It was my daughter's homecoming.
Nice.
But yeah, as a single dad, man, that's brutal, man. That works me over hard, you know. It's, you know, nail appointments and hair and all this stuff. So we survived.
Very good.
So
very good,
man. So what about you, man? Lots of football.
Lots of football. Went out with some people for the Saturday debacle. I was really hoping to start the show with "Hail to the Victors," but unfortunately, the University of Michigan football team decided that Saturday, 7:30 p.m. was not conducive to when they'd like to play football. at least the offense. I mean, the offense decided they did not want to play football.
No.
Five turnovers.
Yep.
I don't know what pisses me off more, the fact that they gave up five turnovers or the fact that MSU only scored 7 points off five turnovers, and we lost by four. Like, I was not pleased Saturday night.
My Seminoles lost with 6 seconds left. So.
Did you see the Western Michigan Buffalo game?
I know it's not random. Did
you hear
about
it?
Yeah.
Six or seven overtimes, like 75, 60 something was the score. That was crazy.
Yeah,
that
was a basketball
lot of fun.
Score.
Yeah, seriously. And then Sunday, I had a long day Sunday. I went down to the Lions game, met a buddy at the casino at about 10:30 in the morning, went to the Lions game. Left the Lions game, decided, hey, what the hell, let's go to the WWE pay-per-view at the new Little Caesars Arena. Went to that, got out of that. By the time I was able to catch an Uber and get home, it was almost 1 in the morning. I was burnt out.
Down.
And then 6:30, that 6:30 a.m. alarm clock, that was not a fun noise to hear.
Got there quickly.
Yeah.
That's the new arena where the Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons are playing. It's astonishing. It's really, really nice.
They did not chintz on that one at all.
At all.
They really went innovative, you know.
Is chintz a word?
I'm a professor. I can make my own shit up.
I'm just checking.
The concourse is wide. Like, you can walk and not feel like you're in a herd of cows or anything like that. They've got restaurants connected to the concourse. You can walk in, get a drink at a bar, and walk out outside of just standing in your normal concession line kind of stuff. And I think what's really cool, they actually have like a LED light screen going across the whole ceiling that kind of works with the music or whatever's going on. It's a beautiful arena.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
But I suppose we're a NASCAR podcast, so we should move on. Tony, the trucks were off this weekend. they're wrapping up round one this weekend at Talladega.
This is going to be hairy.
You know, they're only knocking off two. It's going to be interesting for Talladega to end round one of the trucks.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a guy at the bottom of that list that does not want to be in that two. And he's going to make his presence known. Mr. John Hunter Nemechek is going to be pushing and shoving, I have a feeling, to get out of that bottom two.
Yeah, well, I agree. You know, there's only 33 points between third place Matt Crafton and eighth place John Hunter. You know, 33 points is a lot if he were to try to move up to third place, but there's not a big gap. There is definitely a chance for both Kaz Grala and John Hunter to advance to the next round, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them both get in there.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing about the playoffs. You got to have everything go right. And when John Hunter had that problem, the mechanical problem a couple weeks ago, really dug a hole for himself. And
yeah.
He's 14 points out of the cut line.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got to go.
Yeah. He's got a good chunk of the field he's got to make up. But, you know, the thing I look at with him, he's got wins. They can rebound, I think. And this is our first trip to a restrictor plate for the truck series since the Daytona 500. Yep. And we know who won that, Mr. Kaz Grala. So I look for those two guys to definitely make it interesting at Dega. And, I mean, the trucks at restrictor plate racing are kind of fun to watch. They beat and bang a little bit more than the cup guys do out there versus just getting, you know, pack racing there. Those guys are going to go out there, and I'm looking forward to it. Lindsay's not going to be home Saturday, so I am looking very forward to checking out the trucks this weekend. So.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Tony, you want to give me a pick for Talladega for the trucks?
I'm going to go with Ben Rhodes.
Ben Rhodes. Ooh, I like that.
I think he does it again.
Nice. I'm actually going to go with John Hunter. I would not be surprised to see John Hunter.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to see him on my bumper.
No.
Here you go, dude. It's all you.
But I tell you, you know, we talked about this last week, I think, a little bit in terms of aggression. You know, we remember it vividly just because we were there in person when he wrecked at Michigan.
Yep.
If he can simmer down, you know, and not try to force something to happen early on, because that's going to be a long race around that 2.66 miles, I believe it is. Yep. You know, if he can just settle in. And let the track come to him, I think he'll be all right.
Yeah. Oh, he's got the equipment and the ability to do it. He's got to now. There's no tomorrow if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't push and make up as much ground as he can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tony, the Xfinity race at Charlotte, did you get to see any of that?
I saw it all.
Did you?
I had to
watch both the Xfinity and the truck or the Cup Series on replay. But, you know, I didn't even attempt to try to stay in a bubble. There's no way I'm going to be able to, one, keep my phone, you know, out of my face. Like, I'll go back and watch it, but I'm not going to try to keep myself in the bubble. And I'm watching, and I see across Twitter this little video of the flag stand falling apart.
Yeah.
On top of the fact, Eric Jones during the NBCSN coverage thing hits the stairs.
Whatever. Charlotte Motor Speedway, if it could be screwed up this weekend, they did it.
Yeah.
It was really embarrassing. I mean,
it's almost ambulance on pit road embarrassing.
Yeah, the track surface.
Oh my God,
four cup guys, you know, spin in practice. Then you know the NBCSN guys go out. You know, they go out to do a lap with Jeff Burton, and somebody leaves a ladder out there.
Right, like
you know. Then during the race, the scoreboard off the flag stand falls on the ground. I don't know how somebody didn't hit that and punt it into
Seriously. The
crowd or something.
That could have been real bad.
They could have wiped out somebody's car. They could have,
wiped out the field.
They could have knocked it into the stands.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
And it's not like it's their first go around or anything like that. They've been holding races a while.
It's like their headquarters, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah, staple, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
it was
like going to McDonald's headquarters and they screw up, you know, they forget how to build a Big
They forget
Mac
the sauce,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I got you. I got
weird.
You.
Yeah, it was weird.
But anyways, Tony, Alex Bowman, who's taking over for the 88 next year, has ran two races this year. He ran early in the season in a truck race at Atlanta, finished sixth. This is his first race since that, and he brings home the checkered flag.
He's pretty good.
I guess. I mean,
that 42 car is good. Tyler Reddick won in that car earlier this year, so it doesn't hurt to have a good car, but
no.
For not being in the car a lot, I mean, you know, I know Bowman's, you know, he's testing and doing lots of things like that, but he ran well for sure.
Well, I tell you, know, so he ran 9 Xfinity races last year with 7 top 10s. He ran a few cup races filling in for Junior with 3 top 10s. You know, I'm not going to lie. I was a little skeptical on basically taking an entire year off. All right, how's he going to do getting into a cup ride next year? Apparently he's going to do just fine.
He'll be all right. I'm not real worried about him.
No. Tony, it was a tough break for a few of the guys that are in the playoffs for the last race of their round one. Allgaier had some engine issues. Annette finished a lap down. Jeremy Clements, nice effort. Top 20. He was the first guy a lap down.
Allgaier didn't. I mean, yeah, he lost an engine, but you know, when a car in front of you wrecks and they dump their battery in the middle of the straightaway, you know, you run over a battery.
Well,
that's not going to help.
No, that'll cause some issues there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it tough break. Brendan gone.
Oh, that was painful.
Gone.
Like by 1 point.
Yeah.
He passes one more car or one more car passes Ryan Reed either way, and he would win on a tiebreaker.
Well, you know, and there was some talk about that. If not for the cup guys, the few of them that ran, that very well could have been that spot that he needed.
That's what I said last
week. So, like, you know, and like,
now they're corrected that for next year.
I do believe
they did announce that.
Yeah.
That there will in the playoffs there will be no cup drivers.
And I thought that we've said this the last couple of weeks. We thought that was how it was this year. I don't know how we missed that.
I would have lost that bet.
Oh yeah, me too. Michael Annette's out, Jeremy Clements out. And if you're the Jeremy Clements team, you gotta walk out of there with your head held high.
Oh, no,
you weren't even gonna make the playoff, you know, and it would have taken a lot probably to move on to that next round. But solid effort from those guys and just a real good team there.
And something to build on for next
year.
Right? Maybe they get a little better sponsorship. They get a little more, you know, whatever, and they can buy a new chassis or two or, you know, I mean, they can just kind of improve their game a little bit. And that's what it's all about. So really happy for him to get some notoriety that he deserves.
Absolutely. So, Tony, round two is going to be at Kansas, Texas, and Phoenix. We've got Byron, Allgaier, Sadler, Hemric, Custer, Poole, Reed, and Tift. Tony, fortunate or unfortunate that the Xfinity Series for the playoffs doesn't run through Talladega?
That's probably fortunate for them.
I'd say so, right? I don't know how I feel about that. I feel if you're going to force two series to go through there, you should make all three suffer, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, you know, if you're going to get a wild card race in there, you know, it's not fair that, you know, those guys.
The Xfinity guys don't have a wild card
in
there.
Yeah, yeah. Tony, give me your picks for the final four for the Xfinity.
Final four. I'm going to go with Byron.
Yep.
Allgaier.
Yep.
Hemric.
Yep.
And Cole Custer.
Did you get out of my head there, please, sir? See? That's exactly who I was going to go with.
See?
You know, not that I don't think
Sadler. I was cheating off your paper.
Oh. The only reason why I don't think Sadler makes it to the final four is he's the most veteran of those guys. No wins. Everyone else has wins throughout the regular season, some racing against cup guys. I don't think the point racing and the laid back style that we've seen out of him this year is going to cut it. He does have those bonus points from winning the regular season, but I think these guys are going to go out there and win races. And if he can't win a race, which to me, I don't see him doing, based on current performance, that's why I don't have him going into the Final Four at Homestead.
I'm right there with you.
Excellent. Yep. Excellent.
I mean, he can. I mean, he's got the experience to do it. Who knows? But I mean,
he's
runs consistent, but these guys are, they've just been outperforming him, plain and simple.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Tony, I think our buddy's calling in.
All right.
Let's get Mr. Kaz on the line.
Sounds good. All right, joining us on the line now from NASCAR.com. You can find him on Twitter. He is one part NASCAR and one heavy dose of sarcasm. NASCAR Chasm, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me back. Did I not do poorly enough the first time?
Yeah, you got to really shit the bed to not be welcome back on our show.
All righty, then. Well, I'm rubbing my palms together, man. I got goals.
So we were talking earlier, you know, it was kind of a crazy weekend at Charlotte. How were things from your perspective there? I mean, they had some miscues and mishaps around there.
Yeah, from my standpoint, especially that Xfinity race. That race to me reached a point where you were like, okay, let's get a priest up there to exercise this track or something, because there is just, you know, it's beyond the typical spin outs and trouble here, problems there. Like, once the weird stuff starts happening, you know, where it starts raining, you know, signs from the flag stand,
batteries out of cars, and
yes, like Justin Allgaier nailing the battery. You know, to me, I know that's not exactly the bread and butter if you're a driver, but to me, I'm like, this is tremendous. Oh my gosh. Wow. You know, and, you know, I love the chaos. And I remember, I forget the specific date, you know, there was a race in Kentucky like that a few years ago where, like, drivers' hoods were flying up into their, like, in mid race and blocking their view. And it's, yeah, to me, when that happens, like I said, I'm thinking material. Excellent.
What Joe Gibbs picture in the window can I come up with on this one?
Oh, yes, exactly. Exactly. That's totally it, man. That is totally it. So, yeah, but I like I said, for me, the more bizarre happenings, the better. That's what I really like.
Well, I'm looking at the race I'm watching, and there were 10 cautions. I'm like, okay, yeah. Now you're going to go there. You're going to throw in a Roval in all these, you know, 13 more turns. Cole Whitt's going to win next year. I mean, whoever's running at the end is the Demolition Derby.
It's almost like the Indy 5, the end of the Brickyard this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, were you standing up at the end of the Brickyard, though, at this year?
Yes. I mean, for the first time in 10 years, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I was there. And the funniest part about it was that, you know, I kind of went and was standing near the Victory Lane area, you know, with about 15 to go. I stood there for like an hour and a half before the race ended, you know? And when all this chaos is going on and this unpredictability, and like you said, hell, if Cole Whitt, if, you know, manages to sneak in and get himself into victory lane, then by all means, let's do it. You know, for me, you know, the chaos equals more material. It's better for me. You know, that's a very George Carlin sounding thing. You know, it's like, you know, when the world's burning, I'm a happy guy kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, is there nothing better or more exciting going into a race weekend than complete and utter unpredictability? I don't think so. I know in that Roval, or is that what we're calling it? The Roval.
Yeah. Roval. Red Rover, okay, Red now, Rover, send the Roval over.
I don't know who designed it, but we'll see how this goes. I don't know.
Yeah, the Darren Roval. The track itself tweets pointless facts about how many hot dogs are sold at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, no, like I said, I'm going to be glued. I'm looking for – and furthermore, I'd like to point out, I don't know if the folks at Charlotte Motor Speedway or Marcus Smith listen ever. A while back, I authored a piece for NASCAR.com where I made a simple minor request to the track whereby I would like to be responsible for naming all of the corners of the track. You know, you got Canada Corner at Road America, and you know, the International Kink and all these other cool names. I would like to name all the corners. I have not heard back yet. You know, we're thinking corner, like corner face, maybe name one corner Jason.
Well,
you know,
who was it? Landon Castle at, was it Sonoma or Watkins Glen, where he posted a picture where he was like, yeah, I'm not going to do well in this corner, not going to do well.
Yes.
You should just tweet that out there, and I think that'd be hysterical.
Try
not to crash here. Yeah. This part you pretend you're John Force.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. Do either of you have a laptop up, and are either of you capable of looking at something on the internet right now?
What would you like, sir?
If you could, one of you pull up the layout for the road course at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Yes. Once you pull it up, you will see exactly why I find it so remarkably entertaining. And if you could, let me know once you have it up. And I from that sound, am I to assume you have it up?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Apparently they do too.
Yes. Oh, you bet it is. You bet it is, man. Yeah, totally. It gets, like I said, and I forget how many miles it is, but it like
when it's 7 or 8.
Out, seven or eight, but it shrinks by about a half mile when it's cold out.
It's actually two.
One of the funniest things I'd ever seen, I can't even remember the name or the team, but back when. They were doing the IMSA races. Remember, they did the Super Weekend back in the day back there, where it was IMSA and then Xfinity and Monster Energy. I was in a trailer of a IMSA team, and they had the track layout, and they had it. They had like a printout sitting out, and every turn was labeled. One was like Taint Turn. One was Scrotal S's. It was, and I was like, thank you for verifying everything I had always thought. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Good night.
That's great.
So, awesome. Sorry for such a terrible, terrible tangent there.
Love it. No, by all means. Chaos, you were on the show back in when we first started on 18, and I don't know if you want to call it the pleasure or displeasure of being able to be in our 1995 RV that we rented at Eldora with the cone and PETM. Thank you for showing up to that fiasco.
Oh, no, that was a lot of fun, man. That was like... felt like I was on Road Rules. Remember that show on MTV? It was like Road Rules, man. You know, except the dude ratio was way, way, way worse. and all. But yeah, no, that was absolutely no problem. Now, did you guys how was the Eldora Dirt Derby? Was it everything you guys had hoped for?
Oh, I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, we're Eldora fans.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That was our second time there, and from the hospitality of the track to feeling like you're at an old school, you know, home dirt track to the $2 beers to the hot dog, like it is. There's nothing outside of the 95 degree heat. There's nothing bad about Eldora.
Oh no, not at all, not at all. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Like I said, I didn't know six dudes could fit into a trailer like that. You know, that was I bet they are. I mean, they probably are this weekend at Talladega, I'm assuming.
Well, we weren't front to back, that's for sure.
Yeah. We're all gonna have to sleep head to toe, everybody, head to toe. Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, but no, that was absolutely no problem. In case you ever realize this at this point, my time isn't exactly valuable or rare. I got a lot of it these days, so
nice. Nice. Well, you are welcome anytime, sir.
Door wide open.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, wide open anytime, buddy.
You're going to regret.
So news broke today. Landon Castle will not be in the 34 next year. Bunch of guys have an uncertain future for 2018. Landon, Kurt, Kenseth, to name a few. We are fully in the midst of the silly season. Do we get another Greg Biffle going into 2018 with any of these guys that think they might have a ride that don't? Can you give some opinion to the silly season and what it's shaping up with?
It's by far the most insane one I think that I can remember personally. When you say a Greg Biffle, you don't mean a guy who just stops driving and goes off and decides to be creepy as hell on Twitter, right?
Right. Okay. Correct. Yeah.
All
right.
Correct. You don't get ew. Oh, God. Gross. No, you know. No. Okay. You know, I don't know. Usually by this point, you've heard confirmations of things, and it feels like this year it's going to be pushed way, way back. You know, it seems like, good Lord, maybe over our extremely lengthy offseason, this is when we're actually going to hear about rides for next year. You know, the one that puzzles me the most is the Kurt Busch situation, because there was the initial report that came out saying Kurt's option is not being picked up. And then there was a tweet that quasi-vaguely refuted that from Stuart Haas Racing itself. And, you know that scene in Pulp Fiction where Travolta's just kind of wandering around the house of Mia and wondering what the hell is up? That's the one that puzzles me the most, you know. And I'd really like to know, because I like to shop clearance sales. So I want to know, like, where can I get the hottest merchandise for the lowest? You know, you've heard Thrift Shop by Macklemore. That's me during silly season. Yeah. That's what I'm doing, you know?
Love
I wanna pop That's some great. Tags. As far as, let's see, Landon goes, yeah, that was extremely disappointing, you know, for me. You know, Landon's a friend and everything, but you know, he offers – it sounds weird. He offers so much more than what's behind the wheel is the thing.
Yeah. We've experienced that firsthand.
Yeah, he reaches and communicates with this whole other, you know, just different groups of people, whether it's, you know, endurance athletes. He was on Gary Vee. He was in GQ. You know, he represents this kind of wonderful, to me, this very wonderful, unique outlier to, you know, a lot of the NASCAR drivers. So
you mean non-redneck?
Well, you know, those are your words. Yeah. Your words are not mine, buddy. Your words are not mine.
You're on your own, Brandon.
Yeah, I'm trying to name. See, buddy. I'm trying to name Ryan the hell out of this, and you got to get all colloquial.
You're trying to paint a pretty picture. Yeah, you know. You're Bob Rossing it, and I just come in with that.
Hey, way to go. Yeah. All right, then. Excellent. Cool. Taking a leak on the cereal. I appreciate it. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. I hope someone picks him up. I think the most interesting scenario would be if perhaps let's say Stuart Haas Racing says, "Hey Landon, we'd love you for the number 10 car. You and Smithfield beats." And let's see, you know, and he's like,
"Yeah,
I cannot be vegan for 3 years. That's cool." No. You know, so but we'll see. But no, in all seriousness, I really hope it works out for him because you know he kind of, like I said, represents this group you're trying to reach for the future. And you know, that's why I especially hope that it works out for him.
Sure. No, absolutely. We do, too. Speaking of Smithfield, what do you think of Bubba Wallace? Is there a ride for him?
Gosh almighty, I hope so. Kind of, you know, kind of along the same lines as Landon. He's, I know that he didn't get the win this year in Xfinity, but you know, he's another one that you root for regardless. And I think he's doing a pretty good job of keeping himself present and noticeable and there and in everybody's mind, despite the fact that he's not behind the wheel. I think that win that he got at Michigan, despite being cucumbered or whatever it is, that helped too. And all that. And again, I thought that he did a pretty respectable job filling on the 43. Yeah, he's for a guy who doesn't have a full time ride. I don't know what more else he could do. So I know not the current situation over there to Richard Petty Motorsports. It it always seems a little bit wobbly at times. But yeah, the hope is that they could somehow solidify something, and we could get Bubba in Cup full time. That would be tremendous. I think the dude is fun.
Sure.
You know, I want him and Blaney on the track at the same time. Do you guys remember the old Reebok commercial for the Olympics years ago, the Dan and Dave? Remember that? And then it turned out that like Dan didn't make it and Dave did. Like, we can't have that. We need both Bubba and Blaney on track at the same time. So our the sport's most enduring romance, they're so entertaining. We need them both. So yes, I hope it works out.
So speaking of people who didn't make it, Joey Logano didn't make the playoffs
Bastard.
This year. He didn't
Son
win.
Of a bitch. Yeah, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Any idea where I'm going with this?
No, I have an idea as to where you're going with this, and I don't like where you're looking.
So what was the bet again? What was?
Oh, good
after
God!
After his encumbered.
Oh, I haven't heard this in a while. Okay, here's what happened. Yeah. Here's what happened. All right, let's just put it all out there. Let's just lay it all out. After Joey Logano's win at Richmond earlier this year was ruled encumbered, I said, "Oh, whatever. If Joey Logano doesn't win another race, I will get Darrell Elkert's face tattooed on my thigh, inner thigh, whatever it was." Yeah, at that point, you're assuming that Team Penske domination is just going to continue as it has been. It's always been reliable. You know, both Kez and Joey have always been good for at least one or two wins during the regular season. So I thought, stat quo, it's not going to be a problem. Well, I'd say right around, what would it have been? The second Michigan race is when I started shaving the inside of my thigh. That's what I needed to keep it clean, keep it fresh, you know, like just in case. High hopes, but you know, let's hope for the best. Let's keep the area nice and free in case this has to happen. And man, oh man, at Richmond, before the race, I was like singing that Joey "I Love You" song. Remember that one? Remember the Joey song "I Love You" that gal wrote on the speed? Do you remember this at all?
No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
Sorry. That one's not ringing a bell.
Here's something else you'll have to YouTube. YouTube the Joey Logano song when we're done. It was this girl who wrote a nice acoustic song for Joey. I was listening to it, hoping to pump him up. And, you know, oh my God, second place. That was just cruel. That was just cruel and unusual. You know, and I'm a big, you know, I love Kyle Larson. I love everything he does, but. God, if I wasn't praying to the Almighty for all four tires to come flying off on that final lap so that Joey could sail in glory to the checkered and absolve me of this horrible, horrible situation he had so, you know, sadistically put me in. That's what I was hoping for, but it didn't happen. So, you know, a bet's a bet. And I wrote about this on NASCAR.com. I hope you guys both read the article. It was very personal. It was very moving. It was kind of like it was kind of like poetry. Kind of it was like, you know, my conscience flowing out of me. It really was. It was my soul. It was my, you know, my id basically just manifesting itself into verbal prose. And yeah, like I said, a bet's a bet. So, you know, here we are. You know, I mean, haven't you guys made a dumb bet at some point?
Oh, yeah. Many.
Okay.
Many.
Did any involve permanent ink on your tender bits?
No.
As a matter of fact, it didn't. Okay. No.
Well,
no,
cool.
No.
I'm just seeing where it stands. All right.
Hey, so who was the first? Was there someone that, you know, tweeted it to you like instantly? Like, hey, like, or did you just know you were going to have to come out and do this, or did you get called out the second after the Richmond race?
Oh no, it was there was a large buildup for it. You know, as soon as I tweeted it out, people are like faving this for later, liking this for later, and you know, I'm like, yeah, you go right ahead, because you know my boy Sliced Bread's going to go for it and get that win. And I don't know why he didn't. I think he's just out to spite me. I think he was willing Yeah, you know, it's like he's thinking, you know what? You know, I'm about to be a dad, and you know, I have other priorities this season. So you know what? Let's concentrate on that and completely screwing over this Twitter loser. That's what I think he did, for real. But as the the races went by and the win didn't happen, more and more people kept sending it to me. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I remember.
Yeah, thanks.
And even my editor at NASCAR.com said, so what are you planning on doing? I was like, just stay out of it. You too. You know, I mean, there were so many, like Landon did it. And I'm like, you know, at Truperte. Oh, man. It was just it was out of control how many people did. And so after the race, I you know, collected myself. I stared sad, you know, sobbing at my inner thigh, and it you know, I was like, okay, buddy, you will never be the same. You will never be the same, but that's okay. And so I took some time to collect my thoughts, and that's when the piece went up on NASCAR.com. And I got a wonderful, wonderful response. I really did. Even Joey Logano retweeted it, and I'm like, oh, now you acknowledge me. Now you acknowledge me. So,
all right. And so now what's Darrell Waltrip's opinion of all this?
He has never actually said anything to me, which –
I don't know that I would.
No,
either.
It doesn't surprise me at all. It really doesn't surprise me at all. He's never really talked to me before. I don't think I'm important enough to Darrell Waltrip for him to even care, to be honest. Well, you know?
Yeah, but at this point, it's got to be like, that's the dude that has a tattoo of my face on his inner thigh, dude.
What do you think? I mean, but, now here's the good part, though, is I was confronted about it at the Chicagoland tweet up, where I was. And, you know, you're there, you're fully dressed. People are like, you know, hey, let's see the tattoo. And I'm like, if you want to see the tattoo, you got to fight to get these pants off. Let's go. And so the way I found it is, if you challenge people to wrestle you to the ground and remove your jeans, they're like, okay, never mind, I trust you. You know, so that,
we're good.
Yeah, it's what you got to do. You got to add the creepy factor. So yeah, you know,
nice.
Like I said, I'm not going to be wearing a dude romper around the track so people can see this abomination on my near taint. That's not going to happen. Nice.
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah, it really is, man. Really is. So be careful, kids.
So what did Landon Castle have to say about that?
Yeah, he just said, oh, today's going to be interesting. I was like, leave me alone. Just leave me alone today. Today is not a good day to talk to me, okay? Yeah. So.
So a couple weeks ago, I had the privilege of having the Orange Cone co-host for me because Tony was out of town.
Oh, okay.
And we know how what a man of few words the Orange Cone is.
Yeah.
I
missed that episode. Did you get any words in?
No. It was pure 90 minutes of the Orange Cone running the show for the
awesome.
Day. So that's okay. So that said,
You know, it's kind of nice. You're just like a toy. You just like crank him up on the back and just let him go.
You know, when we used to do that, the sideshow down at Texas Motor Speedway. I mean, he was like the glue that held it together because he's so well spoken and so knowledgeable, and you know, the rest of us were just like the dumbasses blurting out things, and you know, thankfully he's got the knowledge and everything to hold it all together. So we were extremely grateful for his mad skills in that regard.
Yes. So I played a little game with him. I gave him 60 seconds to answer some of the most like loose end questions in one word. And I thought that'd be fun to do that with you, sir.
Okay. So we have 10.
How's that sound?
10 questions, one word answers.
One word or one name.
One word or one name. I was going to say, this sounds like if you ever have Paul Menard on the show, this sounds ideal. It's like, dude, I just need one word out of you.
That's right.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything at all.
Okay, so 60 seconds, right. 10 questions, one word or one name.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready. I am completely. Hold on. I'm itching my Daryl. Hold on. I got to itch my Daryl. Oh, God. I didn't.
Get
you
it.
Know, oh, God. I came back from the gym, and I did a bunch of time on the bike, and I did not properly gold bond Daryl. And so Daryl hurts a little bit. Yeah. So, yep, totally. You know.
All right.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. All right. Here we go. All right. You ready?
I am so ready.
All right. All right. I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock right now. And
describe the 2017 Cup season in one word.
Cray.
Who will win the 2017 championship?
The Jersey Boy.
Favorite food at a racetrack?
Flaming hot cheese balls from Eldora.
What track would you like to see Cup race at that is currently not on the circuit?
Oh, hold on. Let me think. Laguna Seca.
Should the race season be shortened?
Sure.
If you could have one driver out of retirement on the track, who would it be?
Oh. Mark Martin.
Besides itchy, describe NASCAR chasm in one word.
Muted.
Who is your favorite driver to listen to on in-car audio?
Oh. Kurt Busch.
Oh, you suck at this game.
Kurt Busch.
You got that one in. Let's see. We had two more. Tony, give him the last two there.
Does Talladega belong in the playoffs?
Sure.
And describe the Orange Cone in one word.
Verbose.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, there's a $5 word.
Yeah, it is a $5 word.
Yep.
Not bad. You got through eight.
I'm sorry. I'm not a fast thinker. I'm really not.
No. But you know what? Kurt Busch is a good.
That's
good
a
pick
real
there.
Good one.
As
is Danica.
Uh huh.
Yeah, but you know, but yeah. Oh my gosh, Danica. Yeah. Put the kids away. Don't listen.
You know who else is good is Johnny Sauter. I should have thought of that because Johnny Sauter is.
Ooh, I didn't even think.
He is sarcastic to the point where you can't tell if he's being honest. You know, and it's like, you know, Johnny Sauter.
It's got to be hard for a crew chief.
Oh, yeah. When he's like, you know, crew chief's like, so what do you think of those changes? And Johnny Sauter will be like, oh, what, the changes? Oh, yeah, they're great. They're spectacular. This thing's handling like a dream. I love it. There's no place I'd rather be right now. And you're like, okay, are you, Are you being serious? What? Oh, yeah. Of course I'm being serious. And it's just like the most wonderful listen ever, you know, to the poor crew chief who's got to guess on the poor guy's, the dude's honesty, you know.
You know, I wish the NASCAR RaceView app also had the Xfinity and truck as audio options, because I miss out on, I think, some of the good ones out there with that.
Oh, yeah.
And also, Laguna Seca, I would love to see those guys go through the corkscrew. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I think that'd be a fantastic venue.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, why not? Let's send them back out to Cali, you know?
Yep. Well, Kaz, the odds of someone following us and not following you are slim to none, but why don't you tell everybody where they can follow you and see some of your stuff?
Okay, excellent. On Twitter, the handle is at NASCARCASM. That's NASCAR, C-A-S-M. And you can hit the follow button, and then you can immediately hit the mute or block button. I don't care. Because I guarantee that it's going to be one of the two within, I don't know, one or two tweets. I'm realistic at this point. So, and if you would like, we have some other stuff. We do stuff for NASCAR.com, and that's available on the your NASCAR website, NASCAR.com. And I often tweet out links to everything there just to save you the trouble of having to do the Googles and stuff if that's not really your thing.
Nice. And you host a race every year, too, if people are unaware of that.
I host a race?
Yeah.
Really? Really? Which one is that?
In April?
Oh, I forgot about that. Dude, it's a long year. It's been a trying 2 weeks. I just forgot. Yeah, I forgot about that. It's become an annual phenomenon. It really has. We call it the Peep Chase. And it happens every year around the weekend that NASCAR is off for the Easter weekend. And what it is, and this is I'm thinking pay-per-view next year. I'm in talks with Dana White to see what kind of buy rate we can get going on it. But what we do, we take the previous year's chase contenders, and we write each car number on a marshmallow peep. We place it on a plate, and then I put about 10 to 15 minutes on the microwave clock. I place them in the microwave, and whoever explodes last is the winner. Like, you know, they'll all explode, they'll melt, they'll burn, something will happen. Whoever is the most intact at the end is the winner.
And do you throw the microwave out each year and buy a new one at that point, or do you actually go through?
No. Here's the trick. Here's what you do. You let it harden first. You let it harden, and then you scrape. That's all you got to do. Nice. You know, it's a lot like, you know how when they're like they're taking the all the debris off a tire after they take it off the car, you know, with the blowtorch and the scraper.
Heat it up and scrape it.
It's a lot like that. It really is. Nice. And I always do it when my wife's away at work. So
That was my next question. Is this the work microwave or is this the one at home?
No, there's no special microwave. This is the one. And the best part is I buy several peeps for it. So you know, we got a bunch of peeps. Afterwards, we kind of dine on them. You know, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's a great time. It really is. So, like I said, look for it next year. It's going to be exciting. I think Logano actually won this year. So
he did.
Yeah, but it did not count towards the playoffs.
It does not count.
It does not.
So, exactly.
So, hey, thanks again. Big thanks again, NASCAR Chasm from NASCAR.com. Thank you so much for joining us again on Lap Traffic, and we'll talk to you soon.
Right. Sounds good.
Thanks, man. I have not laughed that hard in a really long time.
You never know what's coming out of his mouth
next. My God, that was so much fun.
I don't know that he knows what's coming out of his mouth next.
No. Oh, my God, that was so much fun. Oh, big thanks to Kaz for coming back on the show.
He's just a great supporter of ours and a good dude.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Welcome anytime.
Absolutely.
So speaking of Twitter and the such, want to hit some social media?
Why not? Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelappedtrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and follow us on Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you subscribe, download, whatever you got to do on iTunes or Podbean. Make sure you put it so you automatically get our show as soon as we post it. And if you got a couple extra minutes, leave us a comment on iTunes or something like that. We greatly appreciate that. Tony, we've been doing this contest an attempt to get 2,500 followers to give away our signed T-shirt by the truck field from Eldora. And maybe we shot for the stars a little too much there.
Maybe a little high.
Yeah, well, so we want to give this away. And, you know, we're just trying to help spread word about the show as much as possible. So thank you to everyone that has retweeted. And yeah, I know we'll continue to
1,700?
We're just under. So we're gonna reel her back, and we'll give it away at 2,000.
Okay.
That way we
that's doable.
Can make sure we give it away before the end of the season.
So if you haven't listened before, it's a Lap Traffic T-shirt. And it is signed by virtually the entire field of the Eldora Truck Race.
From this year. So Matt Crafton, Riku Abreu, John Hunter, all those guys are on there.
Kenny Schrader,
yeah. It's a very cool shirt, and we'd love to give that away to one lucky follower. So, again, thanks to everyone for sharing and retweeting that, and appreciate that.
Speaking of, we got some new followers.
We do have some new followers. We got some cool ones, too, this week. I think you're going to like this.
Are you saying the ones last week weren't cool?
Well, of course they were cool, but I think you'll see what I'm getting at here in a minute. Over on Facebook, J. Reed Gurney from Geneva, Florida, and Cody Ordway from Elwell, Michigan. Tony, do you know where Elwell, Michigan is?
I actually do. That's by, like, St. Louis, Michigan.
Okay, well, I don't know where St. Louis is. I didn't know we had St. Louis.
Yeah.
I looked it up. It's around a little south of Mount Pleasant area.
Yeah. Alma. Yep.
Yes. Over on Twitter, Carrie Youngcourt at Carrie36 is a big NASCAR fan and a big Penguins fan. Welcome to the show. Scott Allen Motorsports, owner and driver of a late model car from Lancaster, Ohio, at Scott3SA. Brian Smith at BirchieBud4Fan, loves anything NASCAR, Phillies, and Cowboys. Michael McManus at JGFan24Ever from Elkhart, Indiana, huge Jeff Gordon fan, and he also loves him some Cubs and Colts. And Cody Haskins, at Cody Haskins 2, driver of the number 2 Whelen All-American Late Model Series.
Oh, nice.
Gave us a follow.
Got a couple drivers in there.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show, everyone. Hope you like it. Don't forget to check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, for some T-shirts if you want to help support the show. We also have hoodies, both in men's, women's, multiple colors and sizes.
It's about that time.
And we also have some travel mugs.
It's about that time.
It is about that time. So if you want to help support the show, check out our store link right on our website. I know that I have personally been slacking on sending out some stickers and koozies. I've got a bunch to send out. NASCAR by Marriage is not going to be home on Sunday. Hallelujah. No, just kidding. she's going to kick my ass when she hears that.
One more time. You're on your own, dude.
So this Saturday, I'll be able to chill at home all day, peace and quiet, and maybe get those mailed out to everybody. Oh, wow. I'm not looking forward to that one. Here's the thing. I wonder how long it's going to take before she listens to the show and hears that. So that'll be a good... So hopefully it takes her like 2 weeks so I can be like, what, it took you 2 weeks to hear
gonna
that?
You're just going to be sitting in a chair and you're just going to get smacked randomly.
Yes. Oh, that's hysterical. If you've been to a race or had a cool experience, send us some pictures, send us a story, whatever you got. We'd be happy to share it. We are a fan-based podcast, so that's what we're all about.
Yeah, we got some new pictures up too.
Yes.
And if you want to send us anything, which people do from time to time, we actually got a leather-bound NASCAR, the complete history of NASCAR, here from one of our listeners.
Yes.
So that's really cool. We love that stuff, so we'd love to have it. If you want to send us something, you can do that by sending it to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072.
Yes, sir. Tony, you ready for some fantasy recap?
I am.
Tony, six people went out on a huge limb and picked the 78 for Charlotte. That was a stretch there.
Big stretch.
Myself was one of those six people, along with Chris Lowther, Colby Gregg, Chris Coble, and Rich. Tony, Cody now has a 15-point lead in first with 215 points. Mick has moved up to second with 200.
Made a nice move there,
yes,
Mick.
He did. We have a three-way tie for third with 190 points between Rich, Chris Lowther, and Aaron. Wes is in fourth with 185, and we have a three-way tie with 180 between Tony, Chad, and Chris Coble.
Yep. I got knocked down there, man, when Kurt Busch did not help me with Mr. Larson.
No, he did not.
Nope.
I have moved up two spots to eighth with 150, tied with Jeff and Mike.
Well done.
And Tony, I'm only three positions away from you there, sir. Yeah. So, again, my goal was not to win this, but just to beat you.
There's five races to go. I've got five shots left.
Yes,
here.
You
I'm,
do.
And I'm.
Well, so the interesting thing.
Six races.
I, you know, with all my spare time, I decided to look at, like, some of the preseason picks that are going to play a role in this. Just to remind everybody, everyone had to submit four. Final four drivers going into Homestead, which is going to be worth 3 points for each correct one, and a preseason champ pick, which is going to get you some extra points. And the interesting thing is Cody, who's in first with 215, is basically eliminated from the extra championship points because he took NASCAR Chasm's favorite driver, Joey Logano.
That's a 200-point penalty.
It's got to be, right? I mean, it's done. I mean, we're just going to drop him to the bottom with the people not making picks. The preseason picks, I think, are going to come into play with these ties, perhaps, at the end of the season here. So, everyone, make sure you get your picks in this week for Dega. It's going to be a wild card race for those in the chase, and I wonder if it's going to be a wild card race for those in the Lapped Traffic Fantasy League. Yeah.
You never know.
It's all that.
You just never know.
And just to remind everybody, again, I've gotten some suggestions. I haven't checked them out yet as far as some ideas for a hosting site for the Fantasy League for next year. Yahoo and a couple others have come through, and I'll take a peek at those and see what might work for us the best. As well as, don't forget about our special show that we're going to do at the end of the year, a little parody show involving some Lap Traffic awards, parody account of the year, race of the year, driver of the year. If you've got any suggestions for those, send those on over and we'll get that in there. Tony, you ready to talk that what was Charlotte?
What was Charlotte?
Yes. Stage one and two, Kevin Harvick. Who? We haven't talked about him much.
Doesn't surprise me a whole lot. He's been running pretty good.
He's finally maybe starting to piece things together there. And Martin Truex Jr. brings home checkered flag again this season and again at Charlotte. So, Tony, Martin Truex gets his sixth win of the season. Again, I don't know if you don't have him in your final four at Homestead. I'd like to know why you don't have him in your final four personally. Tony, this actually really started last year towards the end of the season with Truex. He made the playoffs last year, had a bad finish at Dega that basically knocked him out of the playoffs last year, and he probably would have made it to the final four if not for that. They finished the season last year with four wins and have been on a vengeance ever since, and six wins this season.
Absolutely on a tear.
It's kind of remarkable. And I say remarkable only because he's a veteran in the season or in the series. He's been around a long time. You know, he'd get a win every three, four seasons. And now all of a sudden to get with the right team, the right crew chief and explode this late into his career. Not that he wasn't that good, but it's just not something you see all that often.
No, now he's 37.
Right.
You know, he's
exactly.
Driving like he's, you know, 24 or something.
Right.
And, man, they're doing a great job. So,
yeah,
hats off to the entire organization.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and to me, this win was the most important for him this season. And I'll tell you why. You know, he's risen to all sorts of new heights here. But to go in to Charlotte in the playoffs, second round, dominate, sweep Charlotte, as well as kind of show the rest of the field, hey, we're not making mistakes. We're dialed in. They don't have to worry about Talladega. They're into the final eight. The last three races there, I think it's Phoenix, Texas, and Martinsville. You know, those are no-brainer tracks, you know. Again, he's basically, I think this win is why I think it's so important, is it's basically punched his ticket to Homestead.
Yeah, I mean, right now, they're doing one-arm push-ups.
Seriously.
They're just
mocking the field.
They're just showing off.
Yes,
now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, credit where credit's due.
Absolutely.
They're doing it.
You know, I haven't been able to talk much about Kevin Harvick this year. They haven't shown some speed midway through the summer here. I wonder if old Rodney wasn't saving a little bit of something in the bank there.
Well, you know, remember when we talked to old Guido DiBenedetto, you know, in Michigan, he said, man, when the playoff times come, man, do those cars get fast.
Yes.
You know,
the
and fast it's true.
Get faster.
And it's true. I mean, once they're in, I mean, I think they've been working on some special stuff, and it's showing up now because, the Hendrick guys
yep.
are running a lot better all of a sudden.
All of them. Even like Casey Kane and Dale Jr.
Yeah, all yep. of them. Yeah.
Yep. Tony, tough day for the Snickers.
Ooh.
Real tough day.
I'll tell you what, I felt bad for him getting out. I mean, you know, watched him do three races in three nights at Bristol.
Yep.
I mean, the boy's tough. He
yes.
can drive.
Oh, 100%.
He can, you know, he's not, you know, he's no wimp back there
no.
at all, man. But he
no.
got out of that car and dropped right
yeah.
there.
Well, he was in the infield care center for about an hour getting.
Well, and so was, so were a bunch of other drivers. But, I mean, he called in with about 50 laps to go and said, I'm going to need medical attention as
yeah.
soon as.
Yeah,
this car stops.
Yep. That was interesting. Not your typical Kyle Busch race at all. You
no.
know.
No.
Jamie McMurray surprised me. Not you know he's got a win at Charlotte. You know he's got a few wins here and there, but he is quietly still being relevant in this playoffs.
He's absolutely relevant.
Tony and you mentioned the 40 the Hendrick guys are. Showing some speed, but I got to be honest with you. If there was any race that the 48 team was going to, you know, kind of put a stamp out there to let everyone know, hey, we're still here to play, it would have been this race at Charlotte. He loves Charlotte. He's got 8 wins there, 7 wins. And yeah, he got a 7th place finish, but it just wasn't a Jimmy Johnson type finish.
No,
and
that's, that's been their whole year. They've just been off by just a little bit.
Yeah. And I got to be honest, I don't think he's going to Homestead. Well, he's going to go, but I don't think he's going to be one of the final four.
I don't know that he is either.
Nope. Tony, so we talked earlier in the show. I had quite the busy weekend, so I had to watch the Cup race on DVR, and I tweeted that out, and I got to give a shout out over to Mick. He sent out he responded to me, and he said, well, let me know if the outcome changes. I'll go back and rewatch it myself. unfortunately, it didn't, but I thought that was hysterical.
That's the second time in the last 2 days Martin Truex has won it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know. Did you see? I said, I should live tweet it on Monday night when I watch it. I might get some coverage. Who knows?
Exactly.
Tony, so race one of round two is over. We go to Dega next week and finish round two at Kansas. Truex is locked in. The 42 is looking good. The 4 is not looking bad there with his strong first half of the race here. Anything can happen, though, at Talladega.
You never know. It's literally just draw a name out of the hat. It can be just about anyone, as we've seen.
Absolutely.
Does Ricky Stenhouse continue his domination on the plate?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Rolled
the dice enough.
Yes, Lady Luck. I don't see with the dominance of the 48 or the 78, the 42. I just don't see it happening.
Yep.
So
I agree.
Tony, NASCAR came out and clarified the non-penalty on the 48 team, stating that while they had already left the pit box and had to pull it back to tighten some lugs, which cost them spots on the track. And supposedly this has been something they've been doing before, where if a team's kind of penalized themselves, that they don't go out there and re-penalize them. I don't agree with that.
I mean, the little bit of backup that he did, and that's way different than a drive-thru.
Yeah.
I mean, that loses a lap.
Right.
By driving through.
Exactly. I think that's something that NASCAR needs to fix in terms of its consistency. It's transparency, and it's just common sense. You know what? If there's two penalties on a football field, the ref doesn't go, oh, well, there's already a holding call. I'm not going to throw the flag for the block.
Yeah.
You penalize both and assess how it needs to be assessed.
That was strange. Even the announcers, you know, it's guaranteed. That's a
right. Right.
That's a
and I guess because they flaunted it on the TV, basically, as I think what maybe caused the uproar for it, you know. But that was interesting for me. I think that's just something that NASCAR's got to come out and address
going
into
18. From the magic 8-ball of rules.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything else from Charlotte?
Yeah, just a crazy weekend, and you know, like I said, man, 10 cautions. They're going to make this a road course now.
Right.
It's going to be last man standing. And we'll see. I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Tony, some Xfinity silly season news. Daniel Hemric will be back at RCR in 2018. And they signed rookie Matt Tift from Joe Gibbs.
That one surprised me a little bit.
It did, too, especially with how well he's doing. I would have thought they would have tried to bring him back. But got to give props to RCR for trying to build the farm field a little bit there.
Yep, so, they need to. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah, good.
Tony, did you see the unveiling of the Hendrick cars for 2018?
Camaros, it looks cool. They did, man.
They put on a performance with that unveiling. That was really cool. I got to be honest. I think the 24 car looks badass with the flames, kind of giving a little retro to Jeff Gordon.
Yep.
I think it's interesting and cool that the 48's going black. I think that's pretty cool. I think the Chase Elliott 9 car looks badass. I think they did a nice job with the cars. Yep. So
I agree. And Tyler, they're very nice.
Yep. And Tony, we mentioned it earlier, Landon Castle out next year, free agent.
Totally stinks. That totally stinks. That's one of the guys, you know, that adopted us early. Probably the first Cup driver that adopted us early. And just a super nice guy and a wealth of information, man. You can sit there and talk to this guy for an hour, and he's just, man, here's the thing, he's 28. You know, he's a young guy, but he's been around so long. He's got, you know, almost a decade of driving experience at this level, and I gotta believe he's gonna land somewhere. But
he's got a very well thought out mindset behind him, like
ridiculously intelligent man.
Yes, yes,
yeah, yeah. I'm totally impressed every time that I talk to him. Nothing else. Worst case scenario, we can add a third microphone here in lap traffic, and he can be on Tuesday nights. So
hey, he wants it. What? Job's his. Yes.
No, he'll be good. I think he'll land somewhere, but always stinks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Never good.
No, you know, especially good to know. All right, I got to go get in this car for 6 more races, or you know, and finish this out, not knowing what the future's going to hold. That's got to be.
But he's a pro. He's
absolutely.
Through this before.
Sure.
He knows. You know, he knows what he's doing, and you know. Best of luck to Landon, though.
Absolutely.
Just truly one of the good guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That's out there. You know, here's what a good guy he is. So, Kaz mentioned, you know, put him in the Landon Castle's vegan. So, we put him in the Smithfield meats, you know.
That was hysterical. So,
anyways, but there's a YouTube video out there. He, like, you know, shows you around his house, whatever. I mean, he's got a grill built in into his backyard. He's like, we don't grill. We don't eat meat, but I guess I could grow vegetables, but if you wanted to come over and cook some meat, it's here for you.
That's awesome.
I mean, you know, like, who does
right.
that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're
resale.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, you know, it's just.
But no, totally. Yeah,
you know, like, what a nice guy, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm not going to use it, but you can.
You can. Yeah.
You know. So.
Hey, Tony, you got a couple questions sent in. You ready to go to work?
I am.
Let's do it. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. All right, Crew Chief. Got your headset on?
I'm ready to go.
Let's do it. Tim at TTrip14 wants to know, how much do you see the Cup car slowing down with the limited 13 short block engine rule? Do softer engines equal softer speed?
Yes, it does. I don't think it's going to be so much that we'll notice it because, after, you know, actually everybody's going to be running softer motors at some point, right? Are we going to see 220 at Michigan? Probably not.
Well, unless some of them are using a fresh motor that year.
Motor and run away and hide. But we're still going to see 210.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not like they're going to be going on 160 or anything. You know, I mean, they'll be softer. Remember now, though, they can still put fresh cylinder heads on, so which is going to help, you know, the life, you know, a little bit. I mean, get a little life out of it. So compression will be down a little bit, but they'll still have fresh heads, and I don't think it'll be terrible.
You know, when they announced the stages and they were like, you know, this could cause some teams to kind of maybe play some mind games with each other on strategy during the race. I wonder if we might see that with the engines, because it's you can choose when you want to use the older engine, you know, maybe half the team
might use an older engine here. Maybe they'll use a fresh one just to maybe, you know, I'm curious to see what the strategy is in terms of.
I'll tell you what, they just caused some crew chief and some engine builders some sleepless nights.
Absolutely, right? Yeah, a little more. Got to add to the notebook, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it'll be down. I don't think it'll be so noticeable that any, you know, no, we're not going to see it on, you know, when we're as fans.
Sure. Hugh at Bucky515 wants to know, there's some talk of moving to standard engines for all teams in truck and Xfinity. Do you think this will hurt manufacturer support, and might it impact the series?
I don't know how much manufacturer support they get, you know, especially at the truck level, you know. If it helps the teams, I'm all for it. If it's going to save them some money, truthfully, you don't know what's under the hood of Matt Crafton's truck. I don't either, you know. And it could be a Chevy motor in there. I would have no idea as a fan, right? So I don't know that it really, really matters. And remember, like most like late model series across the country, a lot of them have crate engine rules.
Sure.
As it is. So it's not completely unheard of. But ultimately, if that's what they got to do to save the budget a little bit and keep these trucks and cars racing, I'm all for.
Sure. Yep.
Good question, though.
Love it. You ready for some lucky dogs?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. Tony, who is your lucky dog from the weekend?
My lucky dog, Vegas Strong, Brendan Gaughan, and South Point Casino.
Absolutely. I love that.
If you haven't heard, South Point really stepped off after the incident in Vegas, and they are housing for free any family, friends that are dealing with some of that stuff right now. So
it's incredible.
You go to South Point, and they're taking care of you, and that is cool as hell.
That's incredible. That is awesome.
Yep.
Tony, I am giving mine, because I haven't been able to all year, I'm giving my lucky dog to Kevin Harvick for stepping up and actually went in a couple stages and looking like they got a good car. I literally was going into this weekend was not counting him in the next round, and I've kind of shifted that a little bit now, so I'm very happy about that.
You should be.
Yes. Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Ooh, yeah, I can see that one. Tony, I am putting the University of Michigan a lap down. 8 of 10 losses to Michigan State. We've got Jim Harbaugh as our coach. We get embarrassed in the big house.
In the big house.
Seriously.
That was tough to watch.
It was brutal. Tony, I am the resident cowbell ringer at the local bar, okay? Like, I had the crowd fired up. Like, we were going. Like, I posted a video of this. I was deflated. I was like Tom Brady's balls in Deflategate. It was horrible.
Yeah. That was tough. That was tough.
It's brutal. Anyways, you ready for some listener picks?
Yeah. Yeah, I always like the listener picks. This is actually one of my favorite parts of the show,
it's,
honestly.
It's really cool.
Because I love the creativity and what people come up with.
So we've talked about this a little bit. Tony, one of the things we're going to try to do next year, we'll give a little teaser. We want to try to incorporate a live feature with the listeners. And we're going to try to incorporate something live. This might be something. Maybe next year, next season. I think that would be very cool if we get some live interaction with the fans, bring it closer to them, right? Mick at GoDucks42_Mick's lucky dog is Larson. Plenty of mistakes and still got a top 10. Absolutely.
Yep.
Lap down, NASCAR. Looked like the 48 pitted outside the box. I think he did. Craig at Shoots_Smolders, lucky dog. Fans for being able to see two full races. It was definitely questionable there with the weather.
Yeah, we got lucky there.
Yep. His lap down is NASCAR for the flag stand falling apart during the Xfinity race.
Unbelievable.
Hugh at Bucky515's lucky dog is the 48 for NASCAR missing the penalty on the final stop. His lap down, Eric Jones, NBCSN pace car crash.
Yeah, who the hell's expecting a ladder to be on the
track? Seriously, right? I mean, he's going to hug the wall.
Right.
Come on.
Wow.
Bruce at SimRacer1018's lucky dog is Bowman on his return win. Absolutely. His lap down, Charlotte Motor Speedway for the black flag display falling from the sky. Man. Andrew at Cantsian's lucky dog is Bowman. His lap down is the PJ1. Please never apply that crap ever again.
William at the underscore Wilson's lucky dog is Suarez and Kane for their top tens. Lap down Jeff Green for his 100th Xfinity last place finish. Ouch. Savage. Oh, savage.
Man.
Kevin Lekas, lucky dog, showman Alex Bowman, and NASCAR for bumping race times up to make sure we get those races in. His lap down is SMI for putting sticky stuff on the track and Cup Guys racing during the Xfinity playoffs.
Yeah.
Yes. And he wants to give a huge prop to South Point and Allegiant Air, who supported Victims of
Allegiant
Vegas.
Yeah, I forgot Allegiant Air is doing flights, too.
Yes.
Yep, that is cool.
Noah at N Dustier's lucky dog is the 78 for getting win number 6. Lap down is the 42 tires carrier for tripping over the gun hose. Steve at SC Linden's lucky dog is Truex. This is his title to win. Lap down Landon Castle, which makes him very sad. He's a great guy. Jeff at Gray Wolf Pack 5's lucky dog is the 78 for performing at a championship level with all that he and Sherry are dealing with. Lap down NASCAR's confusing rules, making everyone upset about Jimmy's nuts. And I'm upset about Jimmy's nuts, too. Yeah. So. thanks, everyone, for submitting your picks. Make sure you continue to do so. We love adding this to the show. Ready for some odds?
Yeah, let's get odd.
Let's I like that. For Charlotte, I put Chase at plus 850. He came in at plus 1,000. Jamie McMurray, I put at plus 1,000. He came in at plus 6,000. I thought that was a little high when I saw that one. Denny Hamlin, I put at plus 1,500, and he came in at plus 1,000. Going into Talladega, I am putting Ricky Stenhouse at plus 750, not because I think he's the favorite, but Vegas is going to bring in a lot of money on him, which is going to adjust the line. I'm putting Bad Brad at plus 1,000, and I'm also putting Kyle Larson at plus 1,000. Tony, I think it's a good chance he might get his first restrictor plate win.
Ooh, all right.
Tony, podcast pick'ems with the PETM boys.
Ooh.
They nudged us.
Man, I was doing great.
Barely.
With two laps to go when Kurt got into
Both Sherwin and I had the 78. Tony had the 42 of Kyle Larson, and Rusty had the 48 of Jimmy Johnson.
Got us by three. That was close. That was
it was
one.
Very close. So we are all tied up with six races to go at eight apiece. So this is going to be a showdown between the podcasts here.
I'm going to change. You know, we talked before the show. I'm going to change my pick.
Yeah? Did my odds influence you?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay, all right. So. Who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin.
Ooh, interesting. Tony, I am torn between Bad Brad and Matt Kenseth. And I think everyone's going to be taking Bad Brad, and I need some points, so I'm going with Matt Kenseth.
All right.
That's
what it is.
Let's see. Anything else there, sir?
Nope. Ready to go. Man, I like Talladega. I got, you know, a bunch of friends that are down there every year.
Oh, yeah, you've gone down there a few times.
I've been to this race a few times, and it's a good, good time.
Yes, sir. Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Don't forget, we've knocked down our followers to give away that shirt signed by the Eldora Truck Field from 2,500 to 2,000. And next week, Tony, we got our guest locked in already. I love it. He's been on the show once before at MIS. Matt DiBurrito is coming back on next week, which is very exciting.
But he and, you know, I'm going to miss that. Landon's got to get it right. I am loving their little rivalries back and forth.
Well, you know, I'm hoping he'll give us a couple cool Landon stories, you know, in the wake of all this, which I'm sure he will. So I'm very excited for next week.
Hey, did you see when there was a week or two ago, they were at Dover?
Yeah.
When Landon Castle... He ordered $100 worth of room service breakfast to be delivered to DeBenedetto at 6 a.m.
That was beast mode right there.
Awesome.
That's game on
that
mode
was really
right
good.
There.
Not like Matt had it coming.
No, not at all. No. So
very cool. But thanks again to NASCAR Chasm for joining us from NASCAR.com. If you're not on Twitter, that's the reason to get on there right now. He's absolutely my favorite guy
on
Twitter. So thanks for joining us once again. And make sure you tune in each and every week. Otherwise, you will be a lap down.
See ya!